know, in 1977, Steven Spielberg directed a science fiction movie. It was about a group of people who attempted to contact and encounter, keyword, encounter alien intelligence. You may remember this movie. I'm not advocating the movie. I'm not sure if I ever saw the movie. But it was called Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And if you don't remember anything about it, you may remember the little tune, which I said, I'm not even sure I saw the movie, but I do remember the title and the general idea of the movie. And if I got it right, it's like, da, 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 da. You may remember that if nothing else. Well, I'll set the record straight. I really don't believe in aliens, okay? I don't believe in alien encounters, but I do believe, as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, I do believe in the resurrection encounters. And we're going to be looking at that today. Title of the message, Resurrection Encounters. We're in John chapter 20. We're going to be taking up where we left off this morning, looking at verses 11 to 18. John chapter 20, verses 11 to 18. Now, in the preceding verses, I'll kind of set the context for those who may not have been here this morning for sunrise. You know, Mary Magdalene and the other ladies came to bring spices to anoint the body of Jesus. And according to John's gospel, and all the different gospels emphasize a different aspect, but they're not contrary. They actually fit together really well if you think about the chronology of what happened. It says she came to the sepulcher, she saw that the stone was rolled away, so she goes off running, and she tells Simon, Peter, and John. They run to the tomb, and John outruns Peter, but he just kind of bows down a little bit, stoops down and looks in, sees the linen cloth lying by itself. But then when Peter comes, he's the bold one, he steps right into the tomb, he sees the linen cloth lying there by itself. He sees the napkin somewhere else, basically folded together. And then it says they went to the other disciples, or they went in the other disciple. Finally, John went in and looked in for himself. And it says he saw and believed. And then they went back to their home. Now, here's where it takes up. Evidently, Mary comes back to the tomb, and she's standing outside the tomb, and that's where the story starts. It says, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Pretty cool two words there, don't you think? Yeah. Had lain, past tense. They say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Let me tell you, today as we celebrate the Resurrection Sunday, if the resurrection did actually not happen, let me tell you, we're wasting our time. We might as well go home and just sit in our recliner, get us some ham for Easter, and just let that be the ham. But because Jesus resurrected back to life and conquered death, we can too. You know, and this is not an apologetic type of message. By that I'm saying the defense of the gospel or the resurrection. But let me tell you, one of the strongest evidences in my mind that the resurrection actually happened, of course, is the Bible. But then, because the Bible is the very words of God, and it's true all the way through. Everything that it says is real and it's true. But one of the second big reasons, you got to think about this, the 11 apostles that remained. And then Paul was added as an apostle as well. Matthias as well added. But every apostle, everybody listening close? Every apostle died a martyr's death except for John. According to historical tradition, church tradition, not according to the Bible, but writers of the day wrote that every one of them died a martyr's death except for John, who was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. Now, if I think about that, and some people say, oh, I don't think the resurrection really happened, but I don't think it's real. Well, let me tell you, if the disciples, specifically the apostles of Jesus, did not believe that the resurrection was real, would they have lost their life in defense of a lie? So to me, that's pretty strong evidence. Again, most of my evidence, the strongest part, of course, comes from God's word. But secondarily, if I was an apostle and someone come up to me with a sword and I'm ready to kill me, say, are you a disciple of Jesus? No, I'm not. Because he's not alive. But because he lived, they stood strong and they lost their life. The resurrection actually really, really happened. And I'm thankful for that. We're going to talk about that today. Remember the title of the message, Resurrection Encounters. Point number one, an angelic encounter. An angelic encounter. Verses 11 to 13. You see, Mary was outside the tomb. She was crying. And as she was crying, that is, she stooped down. Kind of reminds me of John. That's what he did when he got to the tomb. He just kind of stooped down and looked in there a little bit. She was stooping down and looking inside the tomb. And she saw something. Now, she saw two angels in white sitting. So two angels were inside the tomb. Mary there, and she sees these angels. But if you'll notice something a little different about this experience, you see, normally when people see angels can take the form of humans, they can take the form of angelic beings, and here all it says is that they were in white. So they probably looked in the human form, but they had on white apparel. Because normally what happens when angels show themselves in their full glory, if you will, people are very scared. And normally the first words out of the mouth of an angel, these words are, fear not. But if you notice in the story, Mary didn't fear. She just looks in there and she sees what she thinks are two humans in there, one at the head and one at the foot of where Jesus, as I said before, had lain. You see, she saw two angels, white apparel, but not in their full glory or in their brilliance. Now, the angels have a question for Mary. We're going to look at this a little bit later, a little bit more detail. But in verse 13, and they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? In modern English, woman, why are you crying? Woman, what's up? Why are you crying? She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord. Now, in Mary's mind, she's still thinking someone stole the body of Jesus. Now, if you were with us this morning, one of the problems with someone says, well, someone must have stole the body. There's another problem with that. Because when Peter and John looked into the tomb, they saw the linen cloth just lying there. Now, And then they saw the napkin that was over his head and face somewhere else, kind of like folded together. If I'm going to steal a body, am I going to take the time to unroll the linen cloth off of the body and then roll it back up and leave it there? No, I'm not going to do that. If I'm going to be doing something illegal or at least immoral, I'm going to be in a hurry to get out of there. So I would have taken the body of Jesus with all the linen cloth wrapped around it, the napkin and everything. I would have taken it and hightailed it out of there. So there's further proof. What really happened, Jesus, just like he could go through doors, just like he could do anything, he just came out of that linen cloth. So there's the linen cloth, just by itself. As we talked about the napkin this morning, he took the napkin off, laid it somewhere else, and instead of, you know, the idea was at that point, and even today to some degree, when we're using a napkin at a restaurant or at least a fancy dining place, you know, if you're still there, just kind of, what? Mold it up. Because I'm coming back. I just left the table for a moment, but I'm coming back. Or just throw it down, leave it totally unfolded or anything. It's kind of like I'm done. Right? But you know, it implies that the napkin was folded. As we talked about this morning, I feel that means Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
So we have an angelic encounter. We have the angels asking Mary, why are you crying? And then she answers, she's still got in her brain that she thinks someone stole the body. She said in verse 13, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. First of all, an angelic encounter, this resurrection encounter's message. Number two, next she has an encounter with the risen Jesus. She has an encounter with the risen Jesus. Look at verse 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back. Okay? It would appear to me that she turns around from the tomb. Now the angels are sitting down, right? One at the head and one at the foot of where Jesus had lain. But she turns around and she sees someone. Now, she's mistaken about who she thinks it is at first. It says, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, now this is interesting. Have you heard this question before? Jesus then says to Mary, woman, why weepest thou? I don't know, is anybody here married to a weeping woman? Okay, start a few fights today. But it's a known fact that typically, there's exceptions, but typically, women are more emotional than men. Typically. And I just thought I'd ask that question. But the angels say, why are you weeping, woman? And then Jesus turns around and asks her the same question. Why are you weeping? Then he asks a second question, whom seekest thou? Who are you looking for? Now, I said this quite often, why does Jesus ask questions? Doesn't he know the answers anyway? He normally asks the questions so that we'll probe what the real answer is. And we'll learn from the question and learn what the Lord wants us to learn from that question. Don't ever think that Jesus come up clueless and Mary, why are you? He knew exactly what Mary was with. And he knew exactly who she was looking for. But when he asks these questions, it's for the human being to figure out. Right? Y'all get that?
Amen.
So whom are you seeking? He has the second question. Notice this is almost kind of funny. She, supposing him to be the what?
Gardener.
Said unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, if you've taken the body somewhere, tell me where you've taken it. And the last phrase of verse 15, and I will take him away. So she's willing to take the body. First of all, resurrection encounter. We have an angelic encounter. Secondly, we have an encounter with the risen. Still clueless about who it is. But notice, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. speaks her name. You know something really cool about our Jesus? He knows your name. You know, a lot of you have middle names that you ignore. Some of you use nicknames because your real name's a little bit peculiar. Some of you use initials to avoid people knowing what your real name might be. But can I tell you in a good way? Jesus knows your name. He knows everything. Right here in this situation, he says to this woman, Mary, who's weeping because she's lost her hope. She is discouraged. The body is gone. Jesus, the one she suspected to be the Messiah, in her mind, has died and someone stole the body. Says she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Master. You see, when Mary turned around, she didn't know who it was. Jesus asked her some questions, but when he said her name, Mary, she knew exactly who he was. Her eyes were open. Whatever was preventing her from recognizing who Jesus was, perhaps it was the beating that he took and the torture upon the cross. Perhaps it was just a veil for the moment, but it was removed, and she recognized exactly who Jesus was. And then Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. This is actually the first human appearance of Jesus. Appearing to a human, that is the first appearance. For I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren. I want you to go, that is, to my brethren. Say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. So I got a mission for you. So we saw an angelic encounter, an encounter with the risen Jesus. And thirdly, a truth encounter. A truth encounter. In verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. Now, did Mary Magdalene go to the disciples and say, well, I'm not sure about this thing, but I think I might have seen Jesus. No, she had a truth encounter. By that I mean she saw exactly who Jesus was. There was no doubt about it. And you say, well, didn't all of them, the first time they heard about the resurrection, they were excited? No. Most of the apostles. Now, in the passage before he preached in sunrise service, John believed that Jesus had resurrected. He did. But a lot of the others, remember doubting Thomas and the other apostles, it says they did not yet believe. You see, Jesus taught them and taught them and taught them a number of times in Scripture. I'm going to die on the cross and on the third day resurrect back to life. Now listen, you disciples, I'm going to die on the cross to pay for the sins of the world, and then in 3 days I'm going to rise again. Now listen, apostles, I'm going to tell you, it's almost like they were a bunch of kids. They didn't get it. How many times do you have to tell your kids something sometimes? Quite a bit, right? And as I've been talking in Sunday school, it went in one ear and out the other. They should have got it. But the truth of the matter is the apostles were looking for the wrong type of Messiah. They were looking for a Messiah to set up an earthly kingdom there in Israel and to throw the Romans away, throw the oppression off. But it didn't happen. So they didn't comprehend it. Mary got it. The first one to see Jesus. She came to the apostles and to the disciples, and she said that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. You see, Mary Magdalene, she had it in her mind. She truly believed that Jesus was alive. She had a real truth encounter with the risen Jesus. Do you agree with that? I don't want anybody to falsely agree with that statement.
Amen.
You really agree with that statement? Double amen. Okay. Resurrection encounters. An angelic encounter. Second, an encounter with the risen Jesus. Third, a truth encounter. And number four, last point. This is where we're going to apply the message today, okay? Two crucial questions that you and I need to encounter this morning. Two crucial questions that you and I need to encounter this morning. You don't like that word encounter, it's at least questions that we need to consider. Remember those questions? Question number one was, the two angels said to Mary, "Woman, why weepest thou?" Remember that? "Because they have taken away my Lord." Now, do you know where the Lord is today?
Where
is Jesus? The right hand of the Father in heaven, right? So we know exactly where it is, where he is, that is. So the two angels said to her, and then Jesus in verse 15 said the same thing. "Woman, why weepest thou?" She thought he was a gardener. She thought he had taken away the body. But we know that Jesus is alive, right?
Amen.
The second question, and I'll get into more detail in a moment, but the second question that was, as Jesus asked her, "Whom seekest thou?" Now, he knew that she was looking for Jesus. But you know, there's a real application for you and I in these two crucial questions that you and I need to look at face to face today. Today we've talked about resurrection encounters, an angelic encounter, an encounter with the risen Jesus, a truth encounter, and then two crucial questions that you and I need to face or encounter. Can I make a few statements and apply this to our heart and life today? Is there anyone here today that's shed tears within the last week? Don't raise your hand. But anybody here shed tears in the last week because we live in a very tough world? And maybe someone threw something really mean at you? Or maybe you got some bad news from the doctor, or maybe there's some relationship problems or something. But can I tell you this on this Resurrection Sunday? Because of the resurrection, there really is no need to cry.
Amen.
Now, by saying that, you might be saying, "Preacher, you've got to be crazy." Even Jesus cried on the earth, and they're difficult things. I get it. And there's things that upset me and things that make me cry. Absolutely. And as long as we're in this world, we're going to have those type of things. But I really fully believe and understand from God's word that because Jesus is alive, we don't have to cry. Now think about it for a moment. Just try to make this real applicable, because the two questions to the ladies, or to the lady at this point, why are you crying? Mm-hmm. And then all that is debunked. You don't need to cry because Jesus resurrected. As Christians, if we know Jesus, now I'm talking to Christians, there really is no need to mourn or to grieve or to cry over the things of this world. Are we? Absolutely. Is God okay with that? Absolutely. Is he a constant friend? Absolutely. But let me tell you, because of the resurrection, we don't really have to cry. Because all the news that we get, when we get on the phone, maybe we're talking to the doctor. We've had some tests run, and I know a number of y'all have been through this lately. We get a call, and they say, "You know what? We did a biopsy on that, and it is cancerous." That's bad news, humanly speaking. But you know what? Because of the resurrection, if that takes us home a little early, graduation day, right? Because of the resurrection. Does that make sense? I'm not belittling or downplaying the problems and the trials that we have, but that all tells me that I'm going to be with Jesus because of the resurrection. You know, whenever we get relationship news, bad news, someone says, I don't love you anymore. Guess what? Because of the resurrection, this world is only temporary. Because of the resurrection, I don't have to let things bring me down. I don't have to let things depress me. I don't have to let things discourage me. I don't have to hang my head and say, "How am I going to make it to another day?" Because I know the rest of the story. And that's what we're celebrating today. Jesus is alive.
Amen.
And if I get a disease and I leave this world soon, which I don't vote for that. I like to be around for a while. I like to see my boys continue in ministry and see them get married and have grandkids and I can spoil and send home. You know, things like that. Thank y'all for doing. But if things like that happen in life, I don't have to leave. I don't have to cry. I will because I'm human. But guess what? Because Jesus conquered.
Amen.
This is just a that appears for a moment and then vanishes. And you know what? I remember the passage in Revelation, near the end of Revelation, it says, "And he shall dry all tears away."
Yeah. Amen.
Why is that possible? Because Jesus resurrected by his life. So, Christians, I hope that you find a reason to be encouraged today. I hope you find a reason to rejoice and to be happy and to remember that because Jesus resurrected back to life, I don't have to be discouraged. But what about for the lost? The second question, I think, is more for the lost. You know, I know the context. I know he's asking her, who are you looking for? But if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, let me ask you, who or what are you really seeking in life? What are you trying to find that will make you happy? You may be seeking after pleasure or money or position or acceptance, but you know what? Because Jesus is alive, and he's right here, and he wants to be your Savior. That's the only thing in your life that's ever going to make sense to you.
Amen.
That's the only thing that's going to fill the void in your heart. That's the only thing that's going to give you peace and purpose and hope and joy and security and a wonderful future. And it's all. Today we looked at resurrection encounter. Unlike alien encounters, these actually happen. And just before we sing a song in just a moment, I want to say one more time. Christian, because Jesus is alive, we don't have to let things get us down. We did this. Lean upon the Lord and get through those things. You know, I often wonder what people become reliant on the Lord to do through difficulty. Because Jesus conquered death, he can do anything.
Amen.
And because he conquered death, regardless of what I might face, my future is very bright.
Amen.
I say, preacher, I don't think your intelligence is too bright. Well, you got that right. But my future is bright because of the resurrection. I actually think sometimes the Lord looks down and says, why are you crying? Why are you so discouraged? Hey, I got this. We say that to the boys quite often when they're going through a test or something going on. They got a big paper. They've had to stay up half the night and try to get this done, that done, or get up early. It's like, I text them, you know, God's got this.
Amen.
For each one of us, again, because of the resurrection, he's got it. To spend eternity with you. If you're here today, you're either lost, you know you're lost, never trusted Jesus, or if you're here today and you say, I just don't really know. Wouldn't it be grand? Wouldn't it be wonderful? In Easter 2025, if you come down the aisle here in a moment, we'll be singing, and you say, preacher, I want to be saved. The reason Jesus came to this earth to be abused and spit upon and misunderstood. He lived a perfect life. He died upon the cross to pay for your sins. So that you can have eternal life. So what do you have to do to earn eternal life? You simply have to put your faith and trust in Jesus.
Amen.
You need to come to him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me my sins. I believe Jesus died celebrate today, as a remnant back to life. I'm very thankful that Christianity is not an elite club, that you have to be a certain height, because I wouldn't make it. I'm glad that it's not an elite club just for the very intelligent, because I wouldn't make it. I'm glad that it's not a club for the very good looking, because I wouldn't make it. I'm glad it's not an elite club for just a certain ethnic background, because I might not be in the right background. But see, salvation is open to everyone. All you have to do is put your faith and trust in Jesus. If you're here today and it's feel like something's working on the inside of you, you feel kind of nervous on the inside, it could be the Holy Spirit dealing with your heart if you need to be saved. Or it could be as a Christian today. You need to start serving the Lord all out. Because I'm in a sermon series on Sunday morning, Sunday night. The Lord is coming back soon. So whatever the need is today, as we sing in a moment, the altar is open and you're coming to be saved. Get my attention. I'd love to talk to you about it. But as God speaks into your heart today, I am thankful. I praise God for the resurrection. Let's pray. Dear God, we love and thank you today. We thank you for this wonderful, true account in the Bible. And Lord, help us to remember, Lord, that we don't have to be discouraged and downtrodden. We don't have to be depressed. Lord, we don't even have to cry. Lord, we're human and we will, and there's nothing wrong with that. But Lord, because Jesus conquered death, we that know Jesus, Lord, death has no effect over us. We're going to spend eternity, Lord, with you. So, Lord, help us to look to you for strength and guidance. Lord, if there's anyone here today that's never trusted Jesus as their Savior, Lord, give them the boldness to step out, come forward and say, "Preacher, I want to be saved." And, Lord, before they leave today, they can know that they're on their way to heaven. Lord, take control of the invitation as we sing in Jesus' name.
Amen.